So, before the pagan New Year, and before even more Islamic terror pushed it out of the news, what we were watching was racial division being the biggest news in our Satan-inspired media that pushes these divisions down our throat. And I'm sure it'll be in the news again, unfortunately. Now, we're in the United Church of God, and I believe that truly to be an inspired name, because that's exactly what God wants us to be, united, and He always has. And whenever I give a sermon I always like to bring it back to the beginning, bring it back to the basics. I do it all the time, and I'll keep doing it, because Genesis, people like to say it's a children's book. It's children's story. Well, it's not, but then again it is, because we're God's children. And so that's the story for us. And God has said in Isaiah that He has revealed the end from the beginning. I say that all the time. And He has. Because in the beginning, Adam was alone. Adam was one man. He was one. Then it was his companion and his wife. And the two were one. And marriage was established there. And the two of them walked together with God. And they were one. And they were in paradise. They were in the kingdom. And they were one. And that picture there is what God wants us to have again. To walk with Him shamelessly as one. Our adversary was the one who introduced the vision. We were created in the image of our Creator. We were created man and woman, but we were one. We weren't created white or black, right? We weren't created with a nationality at that time. But we decided, because we were seduced by our adversary, to believe our adversary when he said that God didn't want you to be like him. Yet we know that that's exactly what God has in store for us and what he wants. So God said one thing and we believed the liar. And so we were scattered from the kingdom. We were scattered away from the kingdom because of sin. And all have sinned. And it says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. The reason I say that is because we've all sinned, okay? And therefore, we all require God's mercy, okay? Because your sin and the penalty for it, it's like the law of gravity. It is what it is. Sin requires death. But God in His mercy still wants you to come back to that Genesis story. Walking with Him in unity, together as one. In Romans 12:3 it says, for by the grace given to me I say to everyone among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has given you. Sober judgment is understanding that God's judgment on you, okay, is one of mercy. Okay, that's sober judgment. If not for God's mercy, we suffer the consequences. Rebellion against God is unity with our adversary. Okay, it's unity with the devil. You're either united with God or united with Satan. It's the two trees, okay? And every decision you make and every word you speak has its roots in one of those two trees. In Romans 6, verse 16, it says, do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So when we hear the news that we hear, and then we go to our workplace or we speak to our friends, are we falling for the lies that are told in front of us about we should pick this side or that side, our side with this racial group or that police group or whatever it is, or Republican or Democrat, your side is Jesus Christ. Your side is Christ. Christ is the answer. Okay? And it's what we need to convey to people. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. That is the gospel. Peace is the kingdom of God. Peace is Jesus Christ. That division that occurred when we were separated from God, when we were scattered out of the garden, we presented with another story, which is actually history, where we were united in Babel, in Babel, humanity. Okay, we were united under the influence of satanic influences, where there was a false king of kings, okay, and there was a false Babylonian system, and they thought they can engineer their way to God through a tower. They were so full of themselves because they were full of that tree, that fruit of that tree, that other tree. Okay, and it's a lesson for us because we know we talk about Babylon in the last days. It's the same concept, okay? After all these divisions, Satan will have one last united front against God. We know that. But they were united against God in that ancient kingdom. And what did God do? God divided them. God scattered them. Scattered. Okay? And in Matthew 12:30, he says, "He who is not with me," Jesus Christ talking, "he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." Do you gather with Jesus Christ or do you scatter? When you hear news, do you pick a side? Do you get angry? Do you get upset about this racial group or that racial group? And do you help gather people instead to Christ, or do you help scatter? Because our obligation is to gather to Christ through the Holy Spirit. God scattered man because of sin. And Abraham was called out of that Babylonian system, and the Israelites, of course, were there to be a light in the middle of a Babylonian world. And when those people scattered, you know, those people were unified, and maybe there was a slight skin tone that was darker than another. But when they scattered, those groups intermarried, and those distinctions became greater, and there were black people, there were white people, there were everything in between. They were scattered then. But that wasn't how it was in the beginning. Do we think God cares about your skin tone? Do we think the Holy Spirit is about a skin tone? We're called out of that system. And we have unity in Christ. And in Romans 1:16 it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Israel had a constitution, it had the written word of God. That was the national duty. Your constitution, your internal makeup has to be the same, but it has to be the living word of God, right? And it has to draw people to that peace. You have to be an instrument of that peace. It says in Colossians 3:8, "But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator," which were we were created in that image, not in our skin tone. "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." If Christ is all and in all, you better forget about your earthly skin tone or judging people on that. 1 Corinthians 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slave, free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. And again in Romans 10, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Again, the solution is Jesus Christ. You're upset about that? Call on Jesus Christ. Our duty is to pray. Our duty is to pray for this world that is picking sides. And as society falls apart, and society will fall apart little by little until we don't even realize that it doesn't exist, and then you're the only lights in society, and you have to represent the gathering in of people to Christ. Okay, those multitudes who are going to go through a tribulation are going to either be attracted to you, okay, or you're going to be the ones helping to participate to scatter. And you need to be a magnet to Jesus Christ. God judges by the heart, not by appearances. There was a time when Saul was going bonkers, and God said that he's going to choose a new king, and he sent Samuel to Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint the new king. And he saw the elders when he got there, and I'll just read it, 1 Samuel 16, he says, when they came, meaning Samuel, Jesse, and the elders, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. See, he thought, this guy looks kingly, this guy's tall, he's big, he looks like a real man, this is the one God is choosing to be king, no doubt about it. And it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So we know he chose the young shepherd, who later turned out to be King David. And he whipped that large statured guy named Goliath. And he said, who are these uncircumcised Philistines? Not because it was a racial slur, but because these guys were pagan. And the next line says, who defies the living armies of God. Okay? You have to be on the side of the living armies of God, and you have to be able to slay the spirits that are around us causing the divisions. Okay? It's spiritual warfare is what it is. And our tools are prayer and understanding, deep understanding. Not going home, turning on the news, talking with our friends about whose side we're on, or who is right or wrong. We all are in need of the mercy of God. All of us. If you prejudice, you sin. That's the bottom line. James 2, verse 9 says, but if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. That's just the bottom of it, line of it. And sin leads to death and requires mercy. Acts 10:28, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation, but as God has shown me, I should not call any person common or unclean. And then in verse 34 it says, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I now understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable. Peter was with him how long? And now he says, now I understand. This was in the book of Acts. Okay? After he spent all that time with the master. Okay? Because this is so hard to get away with. I'm the chosen. I'm the Israelite. I'm the favored. And the same thing with us. It's no different. We have to be careful how we act and understand ourselves. Always be understanding ourselves and whether or not we're in the spirit, whether or not we're of one tree and not the other. But then he realizes that, okay, and it's true that Jesus came to preach to the Jew first, but we know what his intention was, okay, from the very beginning in the garden and why he was up on that cross. That wasn't just for the Jew. Point is, when we are persecuted, it's not to be because of sin. I see so many things. I turn on the television and I'm like, these people are protesting, or these other people are protesting, and it's white or black, it's police or whatever. And people, everybody protesting. And to me, everybody seems disrespectful. Everybody. Okay? Because the bottom line is sin. Okay? You're either with Christ or you're not. And it says 1 Peter 3:8. Well, I'll read 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer, as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. You know, this craziness going on in this world right now. If you read the Good News magazine, the last issue, they're talking about girls ages 1 to 9 years old being sold. Christian girls, that's the way to label. Christian girls for sale. Okay, from ISIS going on over there. Okay, because people are because they believe in the name of Jesus Christ, whether they know the full truth or not. They're calling out Jesus Christ. They're not abandoning Jesus Christ. And they're having the husband's heads chopped off and the mother and the daughters being sold, literally at auction. And we're here in this country, the fat of this land, stuffing our faces and arguing, really, because it's mostly Christians arguing with Christians, or people who call themselves Christian, about skin tone. When real persecution is happening, when it gets to our doorstep, we better be prepared to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. I better be able to respond. Pray for us. Pray for this country. People who are in law enforcement, Ephesians 6, verse 9. It says, masters, treat your slaves the same way. And let's get over the fact that it says slaves, because in Roman times, there were Roman citizens and everybody else, you're a slave. Okay? But this is people, you can read it as people in authority, treat your subordinates the same way. Giving up the use of threats, because you know that both you and they have the same master in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. Okay, we have one master, or we have a different master. Which is your master? So we have these labor unions, or we have these so-called community representatives, and they're talking about things that do nothing but maintain or even provoke further division. And it says in Jude 1:16, it says it to us. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, okay, for us to remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last days there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Are we snatching people out of the fire? Or are we fanning the flames? Judgment starts with us. Okay? If we know better, then we better act like we know. You know, in the New Testament, it says God's name was blasphemed among the Gentiles because of the way the Israelites were. And these lessons in the New Testament, where we hear them and he's talking to the Jews and the priests. Well, guess what? He's talking to us too. He's talking to us too. We think we're going to be kings and priests, then we better listen up to what he talks about. And there's a story here. I'm going to try to not cry like a baby, because I wouldn't do when I read it. In Matthew 15, verse 22, starting verse 21. It says that Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre in Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Now Jesus was silent, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying after us." So here are the people at the feet of Messiah, learning from Jesus Christ, who shows nothing but forgiveness of sins, forgiving people, healing people, making them whole. And here is a woman, a poor woman, who's crying for her daughter, who's possessed. Jesus is silent, and here come those Israelites who, you know, the chosen people. "Get her out of here. She's bothering us." And so Jesus answered, and he answered with the facts, the immediate facts. And he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was his immediate mission right there, because to the Jew first, right? But let's remember. She came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Oh, wow, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty harsh, right? If anyone on this planet or outside of it has the right to call us a dog, it's Jesus Christ. But do you think he was calling her a dog? Okay. He knew her heart, as he knows ours. She was begging for her children, okay, for her child. And he was responding in the way that the Israelites were there begging him. So he says, "Why should I throw the bread to the dogs?" All right. She answers, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that falls from their master's table." Somebody calls you a dog, your first instinct, puff up that chest. What? You're calling me a dog? Maybe even God calls you a dog. You might have to take offense to it. Let's remember, folks, we all require mercy. All of us require mercy. Okay, and she came to the one who gave life, and whose intent is to give eternal life to everybody, and humbled herself. His disciples wanted her out. She humbled herself, even in the face of being called a dog. And he said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed in that same hour. There's a deep lesson in there for us. A deep, deep lesson in there for us. We better not throw crumbs out to our brothers and sisters out there in waiting. Because you know what? You think it was harsh? We're almost ready to judge Jesus Christ, right? Almost ready to judge him about how he spoke to her. And yet, we forget how quickly we forget. He was up on that cross later for her, right? Mm-hmm. He was up on that cross later for her and for her daughter, right? Suffering. We can't throw crumbs. We throw the bread. We throw the bread of life. We throw the manna. And we bring people to Christ. We gather people to Christ. We don't scatter them. There's another example in Luke 10. "And behold, the lawyer stood to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he said, desiring to justify himself to Jesus, 'And so who is my neighbor?' And Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he pressed to the other side. So likewise a Levite.'" So notice, a priest, a Levite. These are people in authority, people who in religious authority. Okay? like we are. We know the truth. We know God's truth. They were crossing out to the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil on oil and wine, and then he sent him on his own animal, brought him into an inn, took care of him, and the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers, he said. The one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Okay. Now, in fairness to the priest, you touch a dead body, you're unclean for a while. Right? That's a law, in fairness to the priest. But what trumps that law? Okay. Mercy and compassion, okay, is what God has over judgment, even over judgment. In John 7, verse 23, it says, if on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so that the law of Moses may be broken, are you angry with me because on the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Again, the priests, all worried about the Sabbath day. All worried about the Sabbath day instead of him making somebody whole, somebody new, somebody healed. So the point is that we need to be, we're here on the Sabbath, we need to be the Sabbath. Right? I've said this before. We need to be the image of our Creator, and the Sabbath reminds us of the Creator God, the 7 days, the 6 days, and then the 7th day rest. And what is the 7th day rest also mean? It's not about taking a day off from work. Okay? We were scattered outside of that garden. We were tossed out. Okay? To work, to labor, to toil. Our Sabbath is our rest in Jesus Christ from our, even our own sins. Okay? From our sins. And we come back and we find rest in Jesus Christ. Okay? And that peace that he will bring to the world that the world doesn't have yet is that 7th day, that 1,000 years when he comes. Okay, that's the peace. That's peace to the world. That's the peace we have to exhibit. We have to be the Sabbath. Are we being the Sabbath? Are we gathering people into Jesus Christ? Or are we going with the media hype about picking a side here, picking a side there, who's right, who's wrong? Jesus Christ is the solution. And that's what we have to represent. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. So the Gentiles were only allowed in one place of the temple, the Jews in another, but here comes Jesus Christ. Okay? And now, with his death and resurrection, what's the temple? The temple is our body. We hold his spirit in us. Okay, and that dividing wall, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. We're all one. And we go back to the beginning when we walk with God as one. There's the golden rule, the supposed golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The reason it's called the golden rule is found in almost every religion. You can find it in almost every religion. You treat somebody else the way you want to be treated. And yes, it says that in the Bible, and Luke says that, and Mark says that. But it's reemphasized again in John. And it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. I don't care what other religion it is, but this religion is the only one who is God, shed blood, and by that shed blood allows you to go back to where he lives, because his home is not one of sin. So you can't go back there on your own. The way to go back to where he lives is through his mercy. And so you have to put on a coat. You have to put on a coat made of spirit, and that coat is Jesus Christ. That is you. That coat is Jesus Christ. You're not wearing that coat. You don't have that pass, that Holy Spirit. You're not getting in. But you have to act like you know now. And this sacrifice is what we have to be. Are we sacrificing ourselves? Are we sacrificing our egos? Maybe we have something witty to say, oh yeah, about what happened with these two people fighting each other over skin tone again, over skin tone. You know, we have something witty to say, you know what? Shut up. Zip it. Sacrifice your ego. And instead say, you know what the solution is? Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the solution. Christ is coming again, and when he comes, it says in Revelation 7, I looked and beheld a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, every tribe, every people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white. Those people have come through great tribulation, okay? Tough times are ahead. And the way that they're dressed in white is because they're going to know from people like you, from people like me, okay? Then they see that beam of light and they say, that's where I'm headed. This guy has an answer. This guy has a steadiness. This person, this woman has a steadiness, okay? That person has peace within. In the middle of all this, that's where I'm drawn to. And they'll start to clothe themselves in righteousness instead of the divisions. In 2 Corinthians 5:6, it says, so we're always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, this is 2 Corinthians 5:6, we're away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we're of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So here we're told, yes, we know, we'd rather be away from this body. Yet here we are, talking about the body, about the tone. I'm going to judge this person. I'm going to judge based on the skin tone. We have to be aware of ourselves. In 1 John, this is the last one I'll read. Behold, I'm writing in 1 John 2, verse 7. Behold, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word you've heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light and in him, and there's no cause for stumbling. So again, are you gathering people to the light of Christ? Are you a scatter? Or are you participating in the scattering